Well, welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the donuts. Anyone get a maple? That's my personal favorite. Maple donut? Anyone? Right there, that's what I'm talking about. Well, welcome back. We've got some great stuff coming up in the next hour. You know, as we have been talking the past couple days about story and just the power of story and getting to share the stories from camp, one story that we thought it was really important to share was the story of our summer staff, and that's a story that is very near and dear to my heart because I spent 6 summers on summer staff. My name is Andrew Summers. I'm the newest member of the advancement department. I've been full-time working with JR and Carrie and Debbie and Dave for about a year now, and I came to that position after 6 years on summer staff and 2 years as an intern, and I know very, very personally the transformative power of working here at Mount Hermon. You know, we talk a lot about students that come to Redwood or Ponderosa, or families that come to family camp for that week, and the amazing things that the Lord can do just in 1 week. Imagine getting to experience that for 10 weeks as a summer staffer. I came to Ponderosa all through high school for 5 years, and the Lord transformed my life there. And I can say that the amount of transformation that happened in me in the 10 weeks that I spent in just my first summer was probably 10 times what I experienced as a camper. And so we wanted to make sure that we got a chance to share with you guys the amazing ministry that we have to the almost, or actually over 200 summer staffers that we have come on grounds every year between Redwood Camp, Ponderosa Family Camp, and up at Kidder Creek. We have about 230 college-age students who come. They come to minister, to love, to serve our guests, and oftentimes they have no idea what the Lord has in store for them. But it's always amazing to see over the course of the summer what the Lord does in their lives. So we have a very special summer staffer with us today, my friend Swagger, come on up, who has been working at day camp all summer here at the family camp, and we're just going to talk to him a little bit about what his experience has been like and how he has seen the Lord working in him and through him this summer. So, Swagger, why don't you just tell us a little bit about how you first came to Mount Hermon, your experience at Mount Hermon, and how you came to work on day camp this summer.
Okay. My camp name is Swagger, like he said, but my real name is Nate Loofborough, and my parents are JR and Lori Loofborough, so I grew up around Mount Hermon, spent a lot of time here just growing up, and my brother Ross, or known as Bro, spent 5 summers on day camp staff. So, you know, from a pretty young age, when Ross started on day camp around like 6th grade, I think I was in, I saw him around Mount Hermon constantly, and I always really looked up to him. And so when I went to APU, Azusa Pacific, that was the first time I really experienced a Christian community. And I just experienced so much growth in my first year at APU, and I knew I didn't want that to stop. So I applied for summer staff, applied for day camp. I knew day camp was where I wanted to be for sure, and got on, and now I'm here.
That's awesome. And can you just share with us what's been the best part about working here at Mount Hermon for the summer for you?
Just definitely, like I kind of said already, the community I've experienced here has been like none other I've experienced anywhere else. Even at APU has been great, and the community there is great. But I've never been around so many people that genuinely care about you, are so intentional about getting to know who I am, and are just willing to build me up and willing to grow alongside of me. And when you have that kind of environment, it makes it so much easier to serve and just pour out into the campers that come here every week and just really give the campers my all, because I know I have the support of all summer staff behind me.
Thanks. Can you share with us maybe a story or two just about how you've seen God working through the ministry of day camp at family camp this summer?
Definitely. It's so hard. There's so many stories. But at day camp, obviously, we work with 1st through 6th graders, so I'll share kind of 2 stories. This last week, I had a group of 9 1st and 2nd graders. In the 1st and 2nd grade, we do mixed boys and girls. So I had 5 girls in my group whose dads were all in Afghanistan right now. And that was like, right off the bat, I was asking them, and we're getting to know each other, and I was like, tell me something about you, and that's what they all said. My dad's in Afghanistan. And I was just kind of pulled back a little bit, and just didn't know what to think. And so as I got to know them, I started to really see effects from that. Just they were very clingy, which was great and fun. But also, I just got to talk to them a little bit, and one of them, her name's Kylie, she was telling me that she's about 6 years old, and she's lived in 4 different states. And I just couldn't even imagine. And just really being able to just be there for them and take the kids where they're at. And first and second grade, they don't really totally understand everything we're teaching them. But all summer we've been talking about bringing campers one step closer. And just being there for them, allowing them to have a week of just amazing time with their counselors, just have a lot of fun, kind of get their minds off the fact that their dad is not home, and just being able to be there for them has been an amazing thing. And now I'll take it to the other end of the spectrum. Week one, I had a group of 5th and 6th grade boys. Probably the craziest group I had all summer. They were great, lots of energy, just really out of control, which is fun until you get to Bible study and you're trying to rile them up. At one point, I had Bible study at the fountain, and every single one of my boys just ran away. And I literally was chasing them around Conference Center. And I ended up rounding them up, getting them up to Conference Center Bridge, sitting them down, having a little, you know, firm conversation about Bible study. But it was great. And Thursday nights with 5th and 6th grade, we have Luminaria, which is a time of worship and just kind of going deeper into the faith of the 5th and 6th graders. But as you can guess, a lot of times 5th and 6th grade boys are not ready for that yet. And that was kind of my group, or so I thought. So I'm trying to ask them these questions about how they've been changed or how they've grown this week, and they are just out of control. They're like passing gas on each other, and it's getting really intense. And I'm overwhelmed. I'm really starting to have a meltdown almost. But I keep pushing through. I keep asking the questions, and Luminaria comes to a close, and we go to circle up, and I'm thinking, thank goodness I made it through that alive. And so I was a little discouraged, kind of thinking, you know, I really want to take these guys deeper, but oh well. But then the next day, I got a mudslide with all my campers, and one of their moms was there. And she came up to me after we were done eating our ice cream, after my boys had thrown the ice cream in the air, stuck it on their faces. After we were finished with all that, I talked to one of their moms, and she said, did you guys do Luminaria last night? Is that what it's called? And I was like, yeah, we did. And she's like, I just want to tell you, my son Andrew, he told me that was his favorite part of the week. And he said that he had never really experienced anything like that. And he said he could not stop talking about Luminaria with Swagger. And like I said before, just taking the campers where they're at, did I get through to maybe all of them? Maybe not. But just knowing that one of those campers, like Luminaria, was his favorite time. And just knowing that I planted those seeds, and we say that all the time at day camp, you know, with elementary school kids, like you may not change their lives completely, but you're planting those seeds for the future. And so just being able to approach them, understand that not all of them are going to be in the same spot, but you can help them grow and take one step closer from wherever they're at.
That's amazing. Thanks, Nate. And just lastly, I'd love for you to share with us a little bit about what you have seen God doing in your own life this summer. What's he been teaching you, and how are you leaving this summer different and changed than how you came in?
Definitely just applying what I've learned about kids, just to people my own age and maybe people older than me. Just understanding that not everyone has the same faith, not everyone is on the same road as I'm on. And if I want to spread the gospel and I want to be a light, a beacon to other people to look towards, I need to understand that that doesn't always mean I'm going to be able to talk to people about Jesus and they're going to fully be on board. A lot of my close friends from high school do not have much of a faith, and it's really important for me to remember that as long as I keep showing them love, as long as I keep just being an example of what it looks like to be a Christian, a young Christian adult striving for Christ with every breath I have, that is going to rub off. And I can talk to them and as much as I want, but I just need to take them where they're at. So it doesn't just apply to kids, but applies to my peers. And when I go back to APU, it applies to everyone I interact with there. just loving them for who they are and just trying my best to get them one step closer, whether I'm here at Mount Hermon or whether I'm back at school. So I think that's probably been my biggest point of growth, is just realizing that.
Well, thank you so much, Nate. It has been such a blessing to have this guy on staff. As you can see, his passion and enthusiasm for loving kids is unparalleled, and it's been awesome. And actually, we're really excited for him. In about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he is headed off to South Africa to study abroad with Azusa Pacific for the semester. So if you guys wouldn't mind, we're going to pray for Nate right now, and we are going to pray for the rest of our summer staff, who actually just finished yesterday, was their last official day. And as they make their transition back into college or into life, wherever that may be, we want to make sure that we hold them up in our prayers. So would you guys join me in prayer? Father God, it is such a blessing to work here and to be able to serve you here, to be able to witness firsthand the amazing work that you are doing in the lives of those that you bring to Mount Hermon. And God, I thank you so much for the work that you do in the lives of our summer staff and the incredible ministry that that is. I thank you for how you show up on a daily basis just to show us all your power and your might and your glory. God, I want to pray for Nate specifically as he heads off to South Africa. God, I pray that you watch over him and protect him in that time that he's far away, and that you bring him back to us safely, and that the lessons that he has learned while working here at camp would go with him. God, I pray that you give him opportunities while there to love all that he encounters and to be a light that shines brightly for you. And God, we lift up the rest of our summer staff, whether they're going back to college or going into life unknown or going into a new job. Lord, I pray that they be a very visible and tangible representation of you to a world that so desperately needs you. And I pray that the things that they have learned this summer and the ways that you have grown them this summer will continue. God, I pray that you go before them, that you shine brightly, that they may follow you, and that others may in turn follow them. God, you are good, and we thank you so much for your goodness. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Andrew.
One of the things I really love about Nate's story.
Well, the biggest thing I learned during my downtime was.
We get really excited. This video is going to be absolutely amazing. Talking about the impact that this ministry has on young children, whether that's at day camp or at Redwood Camp or up at Kidder Creek, is just absolutely unreal. Seeing the kids that come in who are ready, even though they may not know it, for some sort of change, and they're so hungry for God, and they're so impressionable. It's just beautiful to see what happens in a week of camp for a kid. And so we've compiled a video just with some testimonies of kids who have had these unreal experiences at camp, and the things that the Lord has taught them is incredible. And we wanted to make sure we share that with you, to hear firsthand from the campers what a week at camp means to them and what they're learning and how the Lord is working in their lives. So enjoy.
Well, the biggest thing I learned during my downtime was Jesus, like stories that Jesus was in, and like how he healed somebody every single time. He like never gave up on somebody. He always healed somebody, no matter if it was a sinner, because he said the saying that like it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick.
My favorite story is the one about the seeds, and it teaches you try to be in the good soil, so try to follow God and stay on the right track.
My favorite story is The Lost Son, and it means that you can forgive anybody and that God will always be able to forgive you, no matter what happens.
The Father and Son represent Jesus in us, because usually we sin, and it might be a great, great sin, but Jesus always, always forgives us, no matter what.
I I learned that God has a plan for us even before we are born.
Everyone is handpicked by God for certain reasons.
We were made perfectly in God's eyes.
Even if you make mistakes, then you're still a child of God, because you can't not be.
When it came to Rebel Camp and I started doing huddle time and jam time, I really thought it changed me.
I think I've grew closer to Jesus.
Before I came to this camp, I didn't know like these things about Jesus and God. I would feel closer to him and realize he's done great things for me. So I should be in debt for him for the rest of my life.
Only the strong remain. Oh, wow. Well, that's the first time I've seen that video myself, and even though it might have ended a little abruptly there, I really was having a hard time keeping the eyes dry there at one point. Pretty amazing. I have to just share something for the sake of public record. I had nothing to do with the selection of the summer staffer that was interviewed here. I literally found out about that just a few days ago. So my hands and nose and eyes were not involved in that at all. Although as a father, I did mention something to Andrew as I learned about that. I sent him a text and I said, Andrew, I'm sure you've already done this, but just in case you haven't, you might want to just give Nate a little idea of what you're going to talk to him about before you get up here so he can be thinking about it. And, of course, he had done that in a great way. I want to say thank you again for you guys for coming. And it occurred to me this morning that some of you might be going, wow, this is really great, but there's not a whole lot of people in the auditorium. And I realized, wow. Our view of this is so much different. You know, we average around 400 people in May. Some of you have been at our associate gathering in May. We've been doing those for 15 years straight. Sometimes we have more than that, sometimes less. And we've been working on this for years to be able to do this. It's logistically very challenging, believe it or not, to make this happen. But we knew there was a need for it. And when we started this, we really just put our hands up and said, we had no idea how many people were going to come, but boy, if 100 people would come, that would just be such a blessing and such an encouragement. And it's been well over that, and I'm pretty confident it's going to grow from there based on the reaction that a lot of you have shared. I am going to share right now almost verbatim exactly what I shared in May. And a lot of what we shared with you over last night and today has been some variation, but the same pretty much program that we did in May. And we've done that very intentionally, not because we're lazy, but because we wanted to make sure that we wouldn't have some associates saying, well, and someone felt like one was better than the other. They're all different. They're all unique. But we want you to hear some of that same information, and it's been updated a little bit since May. How many of you enjoyed Bill Butterworth this morning? Wow. The first time I ever heard a message in this auditorium, I was sitting back right there where the eyesores are sitting, and it was Bill Butterworth speaking. And I had never I'd been to Mount Hermon, Rhonda Moeller, actually 30 years ago this past Tuesday. My wife, Lori, and I, who was not my wife at that exact moment, stood at the front of a church here in Santa Cruz as Rhonda Moeller performed the ceremony for Lori and I to get married. So I knew Mount Hermon a little bit through Rhonda Moeller. But it wasn't until I got on staff that I actually came to a conference. So I sat back there and I listened to Bill Butterworth, and one of the first times of my life, I was laughing so hard I was crying as Bill was sharing. And what a great first impression for me to be introduced to this place and this ministry arena. Because I think that's one of the unique features of Mount Hermon and the variety of speakers that we bring. You can come at any point, any stage, any place you are, whether you're on a faith journey or not, and I think quickly become comfortable and open up your mind and your heart to what God wants to do. And I appreciate what he shared so much, some of which I suspect maybe wasn't easy for him to share. Lori and I have been blessed. I should tell you a little bit more since you met my youngest son, Nate. Lori and I have been blessed with three boys. Our entire family, one way or the other, either is or has been involved with the ministry of Mount Hermon. Our oldest son, Ross, and now our daughter-in-law, Erin, have worked on summer staff here. They met here at Mount Hermon in the eighth grade, and that preceded a romance that's led to a wonderful marriage. We're blessed to have Erin as our daughter-in-law. Our middle son, Mitchell, works as a canopy tour guide, and you saw Nate. And Lori has served on the HR team. I'm trying to figure out how to get our dogs employed here and, you know, just get everybody on board. But this place has been amazing for us, and God has used it in so many ways. Another thing I was thinking about as a father, as I was watching Nate share, and yes, I was down here with my camera recording it, my little iPhone right there, trying to be discreet because he probably had enough pressure just talking, and then there was Dad sitting right there, but I wanted to record it for some of the other family to see. You know, one of the lessons I learned this summer is I got the chance to listen to some of the different speakers. And contrary to what you may think, the staff doesn't sit in on every teaching session, you know, the whole time. We're fortunate to get to sit in on a few of them. But one of them that I got to sit in, which I think really God intentionally put me there, was the one where the speaker was talking about how our God is a God of redemption. And God can redeem anything, anything in life. And how many of us in our journey of life, whether as parents or couples or whatever, have experienced that? What a blessing to know that. So it's a big deal. I hope you really embrace that. No matter what the ugliness of life may dish out, God can redeem that and does if you'll let him. All right, I want you to close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes. I'm going to close mine too, so no looking around. You're not going to have to do anything, all right? Close your eyes, and now take your right hand and just kind of stick it out in front of you. Some of you aren't doing it. I can just tell. My eyes are closed, but I can tell some of you aren't doing it. Okay, put your right hand out in front of you just for a moment and just pause. Okay, I want you to open your eyes. I'm going to tell you what just happened. The baton of the faithfulness of this ministry has been passed to you and me. Over 100 years of ministry, continuous faithful ministry at Mount Hermon has been going on. And we all are at this place, at this point, I believe, chosen by the Lord. I don't think any of us arrived on this earth by accident. And our God has very distinct plans for not only each of us individually, but collectively for those of us that are here. And as much as we may get concerned about our culture and everything else that's going on, and rightfully we should, we were the ones that were put here right now for this place because God trusts and believes and knows that we are up to the task of ministering to this generation and the next. And for some of us that are 50 plus, we wonder if that's really possible, but it is. And it really is, and we want to talk a little bit about that. It was mentioned a little earlier that the board of directors voted to start the first phases, the quiet phase of a campaign, a five-year capital campaign, which is called the Imagine Campaign. You haven't heard a whole lot about it. We're in the early phases, and I'm not giving a campaign presentation here this morning. A lot of great stuff is going on, but we're just getting the momentum and the wheels turning. But what really positioned the ministry to be able to start that process is something that God enabled us prayerfully to pursue, and we call it our envisioned future. And Roger Williams really led the charge on this with the staff and the board in terms of looking much further than a campaign, but 15 years into the future. And as we prayed about that and thought about that, we were wanting to do a couple things. First of all, we want to make sure that we leave plenty of room for God to guide, not just today, but in the future. As new leaders arrive and some of us, you know, end up doing different things, etc., because things change, we want there to be plenty of room for that to happen and for people to be able to respond. And we've set our sights on goals that are 15 years out there, but they're specific enough. They're specific enough and precise enough that we're confident can really embrace a lot of the opportunities that we've recognized now, but can bring others in. And by God's grace, we really do seek to extend the reach and deepen the impact and the leverage of what goes on here at Mount Hermon. So there's three real components that we push these down to. And the first one is we call imagine the reach. And for some of you, you've heard some of this. I just want to review it a little bit just to bring you all back to the same page. As we look at the future and as the leadership and the board looks down the road prayerfully pursuing God's guidance in this, we just throw out some of these dreams. Imagine the reach as we have potentially the opportunity to double the number of people that Mount Hermon ministers to in the years ahead. Imagine the reach when we can quadruple the number of what we call thriving church partnerships. And we have about 20 of those, 10 to 20 of those right now, but we're looking to get that up to 40 plus. Imagine the reach when we have the ability to tithe 10% of our rooms, our lodging rooms, on a consistent basis, making sure that we can enable those that want to come to Mount Hermon to be able to do it. Even those that aren't coming to a Mount Hermon conference. By the way, if that phone calls for me, I'm a little busy right now. Would you have them call me back? And even the ones that are coming to a guest group, that they could come and be part of that. As we partner with those ministry organizations, we could say, you know, 10% of our beds are available for folks that you might want to make sure are here, but they just can't pay the conference fee that you're charging. We want to be with you in that process. We're also looking to expand our international reach. And we are already in the process of doing that. Some of you have heard we have a little toehold in China as I speak right now. That's already pretty exciting. And then I would ask you to imagine the impact that can be created as we execute and put together programs that can draw children to Christ, ground them in their faith, and take seriously their readiness to understand spiritual truth. Some of you have heard talk about our partnership we had this past summer with the Family Justice Center. I mentioned this briefly last night, something called Camp Hope, and that is a direct outreach that we are working on and reaching a group of people that desperately need the love of Jesus in their lives after domestic violence and sexual abuse has ravaged their lives. Imagine the impact when we can have programs that will be the top in the world that will transition youth to adult life, from a youth situation to their adulthood and fully grounded in faith. We are, as I speak right now, Charlie Broxton is working on a very significant program, a GAP program, that opportunity when kids come out of high school, sometimes going directly into college doesn't always make sense for some folks. And what if we could have an opportunity that could allow them to transition in such a way that would be healthy and productive? We have a vision to become the go-to source in Christian camping for intergenerational family ministry. I would tell you in many ways I think we are that location, but how can we share that and give that so that other camps across the country can raise their standards and have the impact that God would so desire for them? And we have a desire and a dream to implement a professional training program for future Christian leaders in the camping ministry. And imagine the leverage financially when we will be in a position to operate debt-free and be able to fully fund this depreciation. Some of you go, really? That's very important. And we have a plan and we're on track to do that. Imagine the leverage when we complete all the campus master plans, not just here, but also at Kidder Creek. And imagine the leverage as we have the opportunity to expand our ability to demonstrate creation care that's rooted in biblical principles and being able to teach that and teach others how to steward things in a wonderful, godly way. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, the verse states that he shared with his disciples, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." I share that with you because last year at our associates meeting, the one we had in May, we really wanted to unpack the opportunities that God's put before us in terms of international impact. Because people often don't really recognize the extraordinary ways that God uses Mount Hermon to witness to the most remote parts of the earth. And we wanted that to be something that more and more would be available and resonate and people become aware of, because it's incredible what goes on. But today and this year, as we look at what God has most recently allowed us to acquire, which is those 15 acres of land just down Conference Drive on your right as you leave. See, we believe, among other things, that those 15 acres of land may be one of the best platforms yet that Christ can use through Mount Hermon to witness both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And for us, that would be the San Lorenzo Valley, Scotts Valley, Santa Cruz, and even the greater Bay Area. And we can do a better job in that regard. So as you think about reaching the next generation, and even this generation, and when you get to the point where, as I have, you've crossed the 50-year mark, you might need a little reminder of what we're dealing with. How do we reach that generation? Earlier this year, I was down in the Los Angeles area for a conference in the spring, and I was chit-chatting with a gentleman there, a friend of mine who, you know, ran into at the conference, and he was telling me how he had gone down to, in downtown L.A., I've never been there, but there's an area that's like a, I'm going to call it a jewelry mart. I don't know if that's what it's called, but they have a lot of jewelry, and it's a little bit like an overseas mart. You can barter, and they have all kinds of opportunities there. And he went down there to buy a little piece of jewelry for his wife. And he was there at a particular vendor, and this vendor had this large display case, and he had kind of decided he wanted to buy his wife a cross that she could wear. And so this case had hundreds of these crosses there. And as he was looking at them, and this is downtown LA and everything's going crazy, there's this young couple. And he didn't know whether they were married or not, but they were standing there also looking at the crosses. And so they're there, he's here, and he's looking, and they have an attendant that's working with them, and they're looking at different ones. And he starts up a little conversation and gets a little information. And then finally, the gal that's there says, "You know, I think I really like that one over there. Could you show me that one?" And the attendant gets it out and hands it to her, and she's looking at it. And my friend, again, is standing here, and, "Oh, that's nice." And she's looking at it, and I think it was probably her boyfriend was there. And she holds it up, and she says, "Who's that little guy on there? On the cross, who's that little guy on there?" And my friend said, and I would tell you, that for most of us, that kind of a question, can you even imagine? It almost doesn't even compute. And yet for the generation that we're working with today and the ones coming forward, that's a legitimate question. They don't know who the little guy is there. Because today, just being a Christian camp does not necessarily assure the situation where folks are going to come in and believe and feel comfortable. In fact, sadly, oftentimes being a faith-based organization can leave negative connotations on many of the folks that we most desperately need to reach. So the first step often in enabling to have a conversation, to in love share who that guy is to develop trust. Trust. And that's where Mount Hermon has a couple of, I'm going to call, secret weapons that we might take for granted, but we need to be much more strategic in understanding why we're moving the direction we are, because these weapons enable us, these opportunities to open doors of conversations to explain who the little guy is. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the scriptures tell us, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." What that tells us is that looking at God's amazing creation, God has done that in such a way that he can reveal himself. He can start that conversation, if you will, with someone's soul through his creation. Very few of us can come to a place like Mount Hermon and see the majesty of what's around us and not be impacted by that. Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." I'll give you an actual example. A few months ago, we had a group of young people that came from a county foster care program. And they came here strictly for a day of team building, okay? So they come rolling in on a bus, and there was a young man around 12 years of age who jumped off the bus. He was in the parking lot. I believe it was up at Ponderosa Lodge. And he leaned over to his friend, and he said, quite seriously, "Wow, I've never been in a place like this before." Now keep in mind that our parking lot's just a few yards off of Graham Hill Road, a fairly busy road, and just maybe 3 minutes from a thriving town, Scotts Valley. But the simple experience of being in a parking lot surrounded by these trees and the beauty and the skies from where this young man came from immediately created awe and reverence. Our environment that none of us take for granted, this place where God located Mount Hermon over 100 years ago, declares his glory every time someone sets foot on here, no matter where they are, no matter even if they have or don't have a faith journey. It declares his glory. Our second secret weapon is creating world-class adventure and recreation zones that attract today's youth and provide the platform to connect and minister to them. I'm going to give you a real life example of this, but I want to mention something to you. Bill, I don't think Bill's still here, is he? Bill Butterworth? He's not here. Rob Faison's not here. I see Sue's here, so I was just checking to make sure. I have to be a little careful. I wonder if any of our board members are still here. but I want to give credit, Sue, because I'm telling you what our board did over the last 4, 5, or 6 months as we looked at this campaign, okay? Here's some very important questions that they asked, important questions. Because we all know about camp and kids and all this other stuff. So they said, really to Roger and the staff in general, "So how does all this stuff that we're looking to do on that new land, how does Jesus get into all of that? Because we want to keep the main thing the main thing." Is that a good question? That's a great question. It better be mission-oriented. And we're being, by the way, on the back wall there, if you haven't looked at it, behind the auditorium here on the wall of the auditorium, we have a detailed display of what we're looking to do on that new land. I'd encourage you to take a look at it. I'm going to talk a little bit about it here in a moment. But let me give you a real-life example that happened earlier this year. This is just one of how this sometimes happens. We had an interesting phone call in the afternoon. A young man called up, and he had some questions regarding something that he saw on our website. And I'm going to use the Canopy Tour as an example right now because the Canopy Tour is our most, I think, well-known high adventure element, okay? And for anyone to get any information on our Canopy Tour, they have to go right through the front door of our Mount Hermon website, okay? There's not like some separate place. They have to come right through the front door of Mount Hermon. So whether they come from Google or the Presbyterian Church of Timbuktu, doesn't matter. Everybody comes through and knows this is a ministry, this is what we do. Oh, by the way, over here is the Canopy Tour section, okay? This gentleman had come through our website, And he was looking at the canopy tour section, and he found where we talk about our core values, which include quality, authenticity, inspiration, and we talk about the greatest core value we have through the canopy tour is to see lives transformed. And he had some questions about that. He says, lives transformed. And very authentically asked the gal on the phone that was making a reservation, if I go on the canopy tour, will my life be transformed? Because I need my life transformed. Now, somebody, was he serious? This guy was very serious. Well, as the conversation progressed, what we found out was that he had been struggling with an addiction, and he had recently moved from a very far away place, basically, to run away and get a clean start. And he wanted to know again, if I go on that canopy tour, will my life be transformed? Because I need transformation. Over the phone, they had the opportunity to share what they meant with that. And they told him very specifically that God is the only one that transforms lives, and that all we do at Mount Hermon at the canopy tour is we act as willing participants. And if he really wanted God to transform his life, that God would do that. He could definitely do that. But that the canopy tour could be the platform where maybe he could start that journey. And that was one of our highest core values. And he booked the tour. But the story gets better. When he arrived, and of course they were aware he was coming, we happened to get him, I have written down here, lucky enough, I don't think there's a lot of luck involved in this, but we got him connected with one of our most, what I'll call, gregarious staff, a gentleman by the name of Jack. And Jack is on fire for Jesus. And together with a few other of that staff down there, they prayed with this young man. They shared with him for about 2 hours. Okay, so he came early. And he was very curious. He was looking around. And then they went out on the tour with him. They continued. Jack worked with him to answer questions, etc. And I will tell you this. This young man will forever connect his commitment to God with the canopy tour and the loving experience that he found with our staff. How about that? Now, I'll tell you what, okay? You know this as well as I do. Does that happen every single time somebody gets on the canopy tour? Is that what happens? Of course not. At least not in that clear way. Because see, one of the things that amazes me about the way God works here is we hear so many of the stories. One of the things we did this year with our parents that send kids to Redwood Camp in Ponderosa, we hadn't done this for a few years. We asked them after their kids came home if they felt like they would like to share something, what their observations were of the kids before and after, and what they saw maybe happened at camp, what God had done there. It was amazing. It was amazing. I wish I had brought some of those. I'd be happy to share them with you. We don't get to see so much so often of what God does here as we plant those seeds. But every now and then, like in that story, God pulls the curtain back a little bit and says, don't worry. I'm at work. Set the stage. Share the love. Don't be reserved. It's okay. You're not going to argue anybody into the kingdom, but just share my love, let them come, share the truth, watch me work. But see, with this generation, to invite them to come to Mount Hermon and sit in a meeting like this, do you think that's going to happen? It's not going to happen. Not when they first get here, because that first process of going, who's that guy? Who's that little guy on the cross there? They've got to get to that point where they can talk about that. Speaking of the land, here's a little news flash. 2 days ago on Thursday, 3 days ago, I got an email from Dale Pollack, who you met here this morning. And Dale says, just to let everyone know, I have successfully submitted the new land development plans yesterday afternoon. Our county planner said it would take about 30 to 45 days to do the initial review to assess completeness. Once the plans are deemed complete, then they would be routed to all the departments for review. The review process takes about 6 months. After that will come the public hearings with the Planning Commission. That'll be about 1 to 2 months. So here's Dale's best case timeline estimate at this point. We will. I'm not going to read all these different dates here, but Dale says by August of next year, we will be able to start construction of some type. Now, we would have loved to have been able to start that this year, but that's okay. You know, we're going to trust God's timing, but hopefully by this time next year when you come back, we're going to have some work going down there. Let's take a short peek. I want to take a little peek at what's planned for that land down there at the bottom of Conference Drive. And this is our brand new ministry zone. Fundamentally, we have three things that we're seeking to do with this piece of property. Number one is to bless our Mount Hermon guests, those that go to Redwood Camp, the Conference Center, and Ponderosa Lodge. Number two, one of our objectives with this new land is to bless the local community, which I've mentioned to you. Number three, we're looking to create another Redwood Canopy Tour type outreach. Did you know we'll have about 22,000 people this year, 2013, that'll go through that Canopy Tour? 22,000. It is amazing what God has been doing in terms of introducing people to Mount Hermon and to the truth through that vehicle. I'm going to describe this new land. Basically, there's three zones to it. In zone one, which will be kind of cordoned off here in the right, far right-hand corner, you know what? I never get to use my pointer. I'm going to use my little pointer right here. This is East Ziony Road. This is Redwood Camp over here. And someday, we are going to build a bridge. It'll go right over Ziony Road into the new land. This section, which we call zone one, as we zoomed in on it, is primarily protected, and I would actually state it this way. Redwood Camp has first right of refusal to this ministry zone. Redwood Camp is located on a very small piece of land, 6 acres of land. Now, if you have a home built on 6 acres, that's a pretty nice piece of property, but when you're trying to run a camp with hundreds of kids, and you need cabins, and you need a dining room, and all those things, that's tight. That's very tight. So one of the things Redwood Camp has always lacked in a big, big way is the opportunity to spread out and have many more areas for recreation. This will be a field. There's what they call a bouldering wall. If you can't really probably read that, but that's basically a very large retaining wall. But instead of just being a wall, we make it into a bouldering wall so the kids can climb. So it serves a couple purposes. Then we have a area down here for paintball, target sports, etc. That zone, directly connected to Redwood Camp, will be a huge enhancement for that zone. Number two, zone number two, we will call the community day camp zone. And during the non-summer months, our vision, our dream, is to have a day camp program for ages, probably between ages 7 and 14, for the greater community. Okay? Possibly an after-school program also, as Roger would say again, our Jerusalem and Judea. Now, this is a rendering of the roof of that building, quite frankly. These buildings, as we see things progressing now, will probably be the last part of the development of that property, strictly because of some of the finances involved there. But not necessarily. We'll see what God does. But it's one of the most important parts of the development of that property. Okay, so that's zone two. Zone three is an area that's focused primarily on adventure recreation, and this is the area that will probably be developed first. And there are three reasons why it will be developed first, more than likely. Number one, it is the one area that we probably can get permission from the county to do first. Kind of makes sense, okay? Buildings and whatever tend to take a little longer. Number two, it is an area that, well, this is actually, there's two parts of this number two. This is an area that we can develop relatively quickly once we get the green light. And it is the area that will be most attractive to be bringing people in. People are going to want to do the things I'm going to describe to you right here. And here's the third reason why it's probably going to get developed first. This is a huge blessing that we couldn't share in May, because God blessed us with this since then. There's a gentleman who came in to take a look, a gentleman who loves Mount Hermon, and he and his wife had some interest in what the ministry plans for this property were, and came in to take a look at it. He recognized the impact in terms of the ability. In fact, what he said was, he goes, this is amazing. This is going to bring tens of thousands of people to Mount Hermon that would have never come here otherwise, which is true. And he gave us a gift of $2 million to start the development on this property. And he told us very clearly, he says, look, I don't want to build parking lots and whatever else, but when you guys get the green light, it's actually a matching gift. He says, let's get something up and running on there as soon as we can so that we can get that momentum as to what God wants to do there. That's a huge blessing to enable us to move forward, and quite frankly, a timing that we weren't expecting. So here's the things we're going to be doing in that zone. Again, you can see it in more detail on the map on the back if you can't see it clearly here. We have a whole area for bikes, BMX, pump track bikes, and mountain bikes. Santa Cruz County is probably the premier biking community, not only in California, but in the entire country, maybe the world. Mountain biking was actually born and began in this area in its infancy. We've got dozens of local companies and businesses that design, manufacture bikes, and everything else that goes with them. Now, why that's of any interest or importance is a couple things. First of all, there's a huge amount of excitement among the greater community here in terms of what's going on, because there's nothing like this available in Santa Cruz right now. So you talk about ministry outreach there. Number two, a lot of these companies have already approached Nate Pfefferkorn, and they want to help. Now, what that help might look like, we're not sure, but that partnership there is huge. It is huge. And biking, I have a mountain bike, and it hangs in my garage pretty much every day. Maybe you do too. But biking is a big deal, and it is super, super popular. Go online and do some Google on BMX, pump tracks, and all these other things. It's incredible what will happen there. We're also going to put in an aerial adventure course. To give you a little perspective, we have the Canyon course down here. Many of you have seen it. Some of you have been on it. The Canyon course is a ropes course. We have 15 elements on that Canyon course, 15. The course that we're proposing to put in here will have between 50 and 75 elements, like three levels. It'll be one of the largest in the country. And when you're like, is that kind of overdoing it? Here's what's cool about that. What we're looking to do here is to provide an opportunity where people can come back to Mount Hermon multiple times and have different experiences. And every time we can have a touch point with them, with our staff, et cetera, no matter where they're at or why they're here, we have that opportunity to hopefully, as my son said so eloquently here a little earlier, help them take one step closer to Jesus no matter where they are on their faith journey. We're also going to have a little splash park that's just shallow water, 2 to 4 inches, just a place to cool off. And that's, I guess, been really increasing in popularity over the last couple of years. And also a community garden, which is located up here, look